Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 29th of June, 2022. I'm joined by Carl.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about Ghislaine Maxwell getting 20 years, or, you know, all of 2 days, depending on what the Clintons are up to. Trump takes the wheel, and also, why are they hiding the census data? And looking into what's come out there. But otherwise, just want to mention first, because I know some people like to read along for the book club, so just going to mention Douglas Murray's War in the West, doing that next week, filming, I think on a Wednesday, and also started doing Constantine Kissin's An Immigrant's Love Story to the West. Sorry, Love Letter to the West. Which, so far, is pretty good, because he's just like, yeah, Soviet Union, wonderful place. If you believe any of that, you're a moron. So anyway, but let's get into the news. Let's start up with Ghislaine Maxwell.
So, good news, kind of. Basically, Ghislaine Maxwell, the accomplice of Jeffrey Epstein's crime spree, that was kept hidden. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. It's just, you know, international rape trafficking of children. I mean,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, she, you know, his direct and willing accomplice has been in jail for 20 years, which is good news. But, and it comes with a big but, a nice caveat, this isn't over. As Bodade wrote on lotus.com very recently, an article called We Shan't Forget. And I'm just going to quote very quickly from it because he's got a great point. And this is one of those points that's just never going to go away. They want us to just forget, or at the very least stop talking about it. They'd prefer if we didn't notice that Ghislaine's trial judge, Alison Nathan, kept many of the details secret, lest the public be subjected to needless name-dropping. Oh, okay, Alison. If you say so, Alison. That is the kind of the whole crux of this waking nightmare, but okay if you say so. Good point.
Yeah.
Because I hate it.
Like, the big story here is not just, oh, we found a nonce. Like, there are plenty of, you know, people going to jail for noncery.
He was a nonce pimp, and she was a nonce pimp. So who are they being pimped out to?
The richest and most powerful people in America and the world, it seems.
It seems that way. And so none of that's going to get found out because, of course, as he points out, Alison, the judge, is like, well, we're not going to do some needless name dropping. He's like, is it needless, though?
Such as who was raped by who? That's not relevant to a rape case.
Because this, and if we can scroll down on this, in fact, Bo goes and points out, well, hang on a second, this implicates literally everyone who spent any time on Epstein's Island. Like, literally, like, famous names. Alan Dershowitz, Larry Summers, Mark Zuckerberg, Mort Zuckerman, Reid Hoffman, Harvey Weinstein, Lawrence Krauss, Woody Allen, Sergey Brin, Steven Pinker, Leon Black, Chelsea Handler. We're not saying that these people have raped children, but we also can't say that they haven't, because we don't know who was involved and who actually did the crimes. So it's just like, right, so now you're all just kind of implicated in Epstein's horrific secrets because no one can say that you're not involved because none of these names have come to light. But anyway, let's talk about Maxwell being sentenced because at least there's good news on that front. If you can go to the next one, Maxwell got 20 years for sexually abusing underage girls. Epstein, who killed himself in 2019 while awaiting trial, we're told by the LA Times, was exploiting girls as young as 14. She was in a blue prison uniform and a white mask to conform to coronavirus rules. So at least she was being punished. Looked to one side as the sentence was announced, but otherwise did not react. She was wearing leg shackles for some reason. She's not, like, a physically dangerous criminal. She's a sex offender. Like, it seems stupid. But anyway, I mean, I don't care.
Like, who knows?
Yeah, I know. If I'm putting in leg shackles, I don't care. But, like, just seems, like, performative. But anyway, Sarah Ransom, one of her accusers, says, it's been an incredibly long road to justice for myself and many other survivors. This is for the girls that didn't have their say, the ones that weren't here. The jury convicted Maxwell in December of sex trafficking, transporting a minor to participate in illegal sexual acts, and 2 conspiracy charges. Those conspiracy theorists who keep talking about Epstein and Maxwell, one of whom has been confirmed to have been engaging in a conspiracy and charged twice on that count.
I mean, do we have an Alex Jones's right tip jar somewhere?
No, because we can't afford one. Judge Allison Nathan imposed the prison term and a $750,000 fine and said that Maxwell never expressed remorse for her crimes. Well, the only remorse is getting caught, surely. The judge said she wanted the sentence to send an unmistakable message that nobody was above the law. Apart from the other people who appear to be above the law. Apart from the other people who won't be needlessly name-dropped in this trial for some reason. I mean, people on the internet are pointing out, well, we got to see every gory detail of the Johnny Depp trial and no details from this trial. I'll say yes, because Johnny Depp and Amber Heard were a sideshow. You know, nothing concretely important about the ruling class was being decided there. That was about general social morals. This is about the implication of the ruling class of America and the West broadly in a child sex trafficking ring. And so, I mean, I'm surprised that Ghislaine Maxwell hasn't committed suicide yet. Anyway.
Yet. And I am wondering, do you know why 20 years? Because, I mean, America's a place where you hear occasionally people get 500 years, you know, like a mass murder or something. You know they're just going to die in there. And that's the point. But then why on earth someone with such convictions would only get 20?
Well, the prosecution were arguing for a longer sentence. I don't know why she only got 20 years. But, I mean, she's 60 years old. So 20 years is a long time for a 60-year-old. She won't serve it all, probably. Or she'll commit suicide because of the terrible crime she's committed. Anyway, she, of course, didn't take responsibility for anything that happened. Addressing the court, Maxwell stood at the lectern and said that she empathized with the survivors and hoped her punishment would bring them peace. Imagine that. Your rapist is like, yeah, I empathize with the survivors. I, a fellow woman.
I was also a victim of Epstein?
That's literally what she's saying. She says that Epstein was a manipulative, cunning, and controlling man who lived a profoundly compartmentalized life. I, your rapist, am the victim of Epstein too.
Well, I, your pimp.
Yes. Well, no, she raped some of them too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She was involved in the sexual activities with underage girls.
Right.
The judge said that Maxwell was being punished for her heinous and predatory crimes, not Epstein's, which is a nice retort. And she criticized Maxwell's pattern of deflection and blame. Women not taking responsibility. The four survivors, the sentencing described the sexual abuse, including Annie Farmer, who's overcome with emotion. She said her and her sister tried to go public with their stories, but were shut down through threats and the influence of the authorities. Again, who is being protected here is the question that just is the elephant in the room. But of course, the defense attorney is saying that he's going to appeal, or she's going to appeal her case, because Epstein left Maxwell holding the whole bag. It's like, yeah. But a lot of the people are like, yeah, she's not. If she says something, well, you know, she might be feeling a bit suicidal that day. But it is interesting how she said that she doesn't feel remorse for the victims. I just find that, like, she basically says it. You know, a lack of remorse for her own conduct, because she was just basically like, I hope my conviction brings you closure. It's like, aren't you sorry that you raped these children?
But also, just if you're going to say anything before you go to your prison cell, surely you just want to start screeching out names. I mean, she must know. Well, I know she's in prison, but she must know the public conversation.
Well, the thing is, if she starts screaming out names, then she'll be killed.
But in the courtroom?
No, not in the courtroom, but shortly afterwards.
But that's the thing, you know, at least you would do some good on your way out.
She's hoping to get off. Like, they're going to appeal, and she'll probably get, like, 5 years or something.
Why?
Because that's how prison time works. You get your sentence and then good behavior, you get various amounts of time off.
She was going to appeal and then get like lower sentencing because, you know, I'm a woman or something like that.
I mean, she's definitely going to appeal. Like the lawyer has said that she's going to appeal. And so who knows? And so she may end up a free woman in a couple of years. I mean, maybe the appeal will overturn the conviction. Who knows? You know, we don't know. But I mean, at least people are pointing out, well, hang on, she has taken the hit for the whole trafficking ring, which is good. We can get to the next one. This, you know, Miami... I think it's the next one after this, sorry. Yeah, so at least, you know, like Yahoo News, like, well, hang on a second. There is an entire ring of people that were involved in this, and Epstein now being dead, presumably, means that she's the only one, as the lawyer said, well, she's left holding the bag. It's like, oh no, how tragic for her. But we do want to know who the customers were. That would be, I think, useful information for the public to know which of the people in charge of their lives is a child rapist. I don't think that's unfair. I mean,
they're all free. they're still able to walk up to, you know, primary schools.
They've all committed crimes.
But I guess just not even of interest to the FBI. Don't want to ask the questions, presumably. No.
For the first time ever, though, I find myself in agreement with Hollywood celebrities, which is remarkable. Now do the men, Monica Lewinsky commented. Yeah?
What?
Yeah. I agree.
What do you mean?
Well, as in, like, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell, a woman, has been sentenced for the crime of sex trafficking.
Now, this is a feminist moment. Women are being oppressed because only they are being done for it. It's
no,
like...
No. Let's let this ride, because we might actually get to find out who the other people involved with this were.
Yeah, sure, but what a weird response. Like, you wouldn't say, now do the rest of the pedos. She's like, now do the men.
Yes.
As if there's some kind of, like, patriarchal oppression. Like, the patriarchy got rid of Epstein and therefore, you know, just wanted to punish Maxwell because she's a woman or something.
Yeah, well, that's...
I mean,
that's,
Hollywood is still retarded.
That's
but,
Monica Lewinsky's view. Yeah. But Piers Morgan, do you want to hear Piers Morgan's amazing take? His take's actually fine in this case. One of those rare occasions where even Piers Morgan can't be wrong about something. Who are Ghislaine Maxwell's rich and sometimes powerful and sometimes famous clients? We should be told. It wasn't just her and Epstein engaged in this criminal sexual conduct. We need names. Again, just the rare moment that Piers Morgan has a lucid statement and makes sense. And again, another celebrity, make their names public and arrest them all. Yeah, I'm totally in favour.
I mean, you would have thought some journo would have by now. Like some actual journalist, not, you know, a smear merchant. Mm. But...
Well, speaking of smear merchants, we get the smear merchants going on about, well, those conspiracy theorists are saying things. Mm. And it's like, well...
What, that they were right?
Yeah, I mean, she was literally convicted on 2 counts of conspiracy.
Oh no, we've been exposed as trying to cover this up implicitly with the establishment.
As they say, alt-right political commentator Mike Cernovich. Mike Cernovich isn't alt-right? Like, he's in an interracial marriage?
he's a bad alt-right.
Yeah, but
it's like Derek Chauvin. He's also a white nationalist, but, you know, race mixing.
No, so. Mike Cernovich was never part of the alt-right. This Ghislaine Maxwell was put on suicide watch a few days before the sentencing. And he says, Ghislaine Maxwell was put on suicide watch. They're going to kill her like they did Epstein right in front of our faces. Not quite, actually. It was one of those rare predictions that wasn't true there, because that's, you know, something everyone expected.
Actually lasted a whole 5 days more.
Yeah, exactly. And Avi Yemeni tweeted, they didn't call him alt-right. He's Jewish, so I guess he's got a good reason to get out of it. But Avi Yemeni was like, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, and nor will Ghislaine Maxwell. Well, we'll see if that prediction comes true. But, of course, the feds do claim that Epstein killed himself. And just, it's amazing that this was something, I mean, you remember back in the time. In this article, they say, oh, well, we've got all the video footage and stuff like that. And then it started coming out that actually the cameras were off. And there was no one checking the logbook and stuff like this. And
guards were asleep.
The guards were asleep. And all of this, so it's just like, you actually don't know, is what it came out with. But at the time, in 2019, right, and I think this is very interesting, a survey conducted at the time found that 30% of respondents believe that Epstein's death was a homicide. And so that's interesting. So even back in 2019, 30% of people were like, yeah, no, he was killed. But then it started gaining ground as a meme. Bigger.
Epstein didn't kill himself. Bigger. Posted everywhere.
Everywhere. You had Paul Gosar, who tweeted it during the impeachment inquiry of Trump.
Just out of the blue.
He posted a string of tweets, and at the beginning of each tweet was E-P-S-T-E-I-N. And so Epstein didn't kill himself at the end of these tweets. And they were like, ah, how dare you, Paul, which is surprisingly based. But then it appeared on MSNBC, which is also hilarious. You can scroll down on this. I should have got the clip, but there is a clip of a young man. If you can go down. Can you just play this video?
And I want to turn here to Parker as well. The three of you told me you voted for the president in 2016. You're supporters of his. Why do you like him so much, and what policies stand out to you that you support?
Well, I would say mainly just the no-nonsense policies, and especially since Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. That's awesome, yeah. That's totally perfect. Just can't wait to see it.
Turning back.
Can't talk about that.
Wasn't MSNBC, like, didn't Project Veritas release some footage of them? Like, one of their reporters saying, God damn it, I knew about this back in the day. I was told not to look into it as well.
Yes. Was it MSNBC? It might have been Fox, actually.
It might have one of them. But just...
Yeah, the hot mic of her just saying, I did all of this research for years and I was just told no. Why were you just told no? Who was just telling you no?
Someone higher up in the executives, surely. In which case, like, the media are controlled in that aspect.
And... presumably the person is somehow complicit with Epstein's sex ring.
or owes him a favor for something.
For whatever reason, we don't know. But coming on, like carried on, and it turned out that further polls discovered that now 45%, in fact, this was still in November in 2019, so only a few months later, even more people thought that Jeffrey Epstein was murdered. 45% of Americans, quote, baselessly believe that Epstein was murdered, according to a poll in 2019. Almost half of the country is like, yeah, he was murdered.
It's like, okay, well, look, all the report came out, you didn't have the footage, he just happened to disappear, was on trial, and then, you know, suddenly Maxwell's on trial after him as well.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, baselessly, of course.
But you want to...
I'm pretty sure this was also after, like, what was it, the Golden Globes, the Ricky Gervais, remember, even he did it, just live on the TV, it was just like, by the way, didn't kill himself, yeah.
But the thing is, the funniest thing about this is actually that 39% weren't like, no, he didn't. They were like, well, I don't know. Maybe.
Was Clinton between those hours? I don't know. Like,
only 16% thought he died from suicide. Like, this is, as narratives go, and narrative control goes for, you know, the elite establishment propaganda, this has been handled really badly, and nobody's buying it, is basically, you know, nobody, like, literally, hardly, like, 16% of people think that he actually committed suicide. That's tragic for the elite narrative control. So who knows what's going to happen to Ghislaine Maxwell next. But I wouldn't be surprised if she decides that her life isn't worth living anymore. But then equally, I wouldn't be surprised if she only gets a few years slap on the wrist and then gets out.
What was it? McAfee? You remember him? Being like, I'm not going to kill myself.
And
I
then
feel perfectly
he's
fine.
Mysteriously found dead.
I'm kind of expecting her to pull that.
Yeah.
Like, just that's what's going to happen if she gets access to some kind of, you know, letter or a tablet.
Well, it's interesting that her father was, you know, mysteriously died by falling off his own yacht. Robert Maxwell. Her father died mysteriously again. He just fell off
a big yacht. Surely,
well, undoubtedly would have been. But you know, he apparently just slipped into the ocean and died. And that was it. Nothing more to worry about here. It's very suspicious. The whole thing is very suspicious, and I don't think you can trust any of these people.
Like Bangladeshi maids in the Middle East, they just fall off the stairs. Arab wives don't get along with them. Anyway, I suppose we should move on. So we'll move to Trump taking the wheel. So.
John's got a good point here. It is a flex. They don't need you to believe it. There is nothing you can do about it.
Could be a win. Anyway, so Trump has decided to take the wheel. At least this is a narrative that has been popping up in DC. And I thought it's really funny. So I thought we'd just go through and enjoy for sake of nothing else than the hilarity of them trying to sell us this narrative. So firstly, just to start off, we'll start off with the other event, because of course it's all in relation to January 6th, America's second 9/11. So I thought we'd go back to 9/11 itself, and as you can see here, there's the book club I did with Bo on The Looming Tower by Lawrence Wright there, which is you know, a fantastic summary of everything that led up to 9/11, and I suppose we'll see what led up to the new 9/11.
So have they started calling Trump the American Bin Laden yet?
I don't give them ideas. It's going to be the Chiron tomorrow, CNN. Just... Actually, that's a good meme as well. I kind of was... No. Let's go to the next one. So we'll start with the story because, okay, the January 6th here is going on and nobody cares.
No.
And that's just not me being partisan in my opinion. Nobody friggin' cares. If you go to the next one here, you can see a poll, which is just that, yeah, not even any of the Americans give a sh about it. Like, there's ranking polling for people listening, CBS, and inflation, economy, crime, gun policy, immigration are the top issues. And then right at the bottom, majority of people just don't care. January 6th.
Look at that. Hardcore Democrat activists at high priority at 33%. Low priority, almost the rest of the country.
Yeah, just not interested. And I mean, you could poll anything that's partisan and get 33% approval for whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
There's always that third of the country that will just do as they're told. But they have it. I mean, no one cares. But there is a really funny thing that came out of it, which is the idea that Donald Trump decided that he would play GTA IRL during January 6th. So if you go to the next link here, we can see the fact that this is a headline from Time Magazine, who, you know, the ones who told us about the fortification. They decided to tell us, Trump attacked his own security detail on January 6th. Top White House aide testifies.
Well, and if she said it, it must be true.
Yeah, and Time were just like, oh, she said it. And it's like, oh, okay. So, former President Donald Trump allegedly physically assaulted a Secret Service officer on January 6th, 2021, when the president's security detail refused to drive him to the Capitol to be with his supporters.
So... are they trying to make Trump sound badass?
I don't care what you think, boy. Screw procedure. We're going.
Yeah, because, I mean, one of the major criticisms from his own supporters is, well, where were you when everyone was going to the Capitol and Donald Trump was nowhere to be seen? And it's like, well, now he's got a good out with his own supporters and he sounds like a Chad.
But also, I was going home, as I told you guys to as well. So
yeah, well, there is that. But like they're making him sound much more cool than he actually is.
Yeah, he really was going to actually try and coup the whole place, trust me. But I love this narrative. I mean, you mentioned it before, but just like the idea that, I mean, they genuinely, the way they write about January 6th is that if Trump had turned up to the Capitol, there would have just been a coup. I mean, he would have stood there, you know, taken Nancy Pelosi's pen and be like, well, I'm in charge now. And everyone else would have gone, fair enough, what can we do?
Yeah, that's
as if anything was actually going to happen. Yeah. Like, no, it's stupid. Anyway, she continues. According to Hutchinson, when Trump got in the Beast, a bulletproof vehicle that carries the president, it's a limousine, something to note in the future as well, following his infamous address whipping up his supporters, he demanded the officers take him to the seat of Congress. I'm the effing president. Take me to the Capitol now, Trump repeatedly told his security detail. This is all coming from her. No one else, just in case you're wondering at this point.
They'd never tell lies about Donald Trump, would they?
No. When his lead security detail, Bobby Engel, told him that they couldn't because it was not secure, the president had a very strong and a very angry response, Hutchinson testified, that the former deputy chief of staff, Tony...
The strongest response.
On NATO.
The angriest response. Many such cases.
You wouldn't believe how angry he can get. It's just...
Why are they saying this like it's a Trump tweet?
I mean, that's how they're going to make it realistic, surely. They were thinking, how can I spin this? So they just went with that. So after Engel still refused, Trump tried to grab the steering wheel, Hutchinson said. Where we going, we don't need roads. After a Secret Service agent told him, quote, sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel, Trump allegedly lunged at him and grabbed the agent's throat.
Oh, this is very persuasive.
Don't you tell me what to do.
74-year-old man.
It's like a green text.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Trump grabs the wheel, security. Don't do that, sir. Trump grabbed the agent by the neck and said, don't talk to me, boy.
Presumably he then threw him out of the limo as it was driving.
Move over, I'm driving now, to the driver. Anyway, the jaw-dropping scene was just one in a vivid portrait Hutchinson provided on Tuesday of an unhinged president unwilling to relinquish power.
Whether it's true or not is completely a different question. It is a vivid portrait, though, and it sounds epic.
But they make it sound like, you know, they write that as if we're meant to sound like, oh yeah, I really believe. No. What are you talking about?
So awesome.
This is fucking obvious BS.
Yeah.
And if we get to the next one, I mean, this is just, you know, my opinion of the whole thing. I mean, we won't play the footage, but just you can see her testifying and she's getting a little bit caught up, but it's not full tears. But it's just like, there's no evidence.
I mean, you weren't there. Like, you're saying that the Secret Service told you this.
And even the person in charge of that says that you're just making it up.
Oh,
but
really?
If we go to the next one, there's also the obvious point that this is obvious nonsense because, well, there you go. There's a diagram of the beast there. The limo that carries president around, and as you can see, president in the back, driver in the front, a couple of security agents, and then
rear compartment separated with a glass partition. Only Trump has the switch to lower it, and I'm sure that doesn't exactly go chunk straight down. Probably goes so Trump's there just angrily, furiously waiting, right, stand, you know, like, come on,
pushes the two guys out the way, grabs the wheel, you know,
grabs him by the throat, throws him out of the car, whatever. Yeah, just come on, nonsense.
He's a very nimble guy, just
for someone who would otherwise be a pensioner.
Yeah, so the idea that this would have been easy to do or, you know, really possible, frankly, is no. Like, even if it might be possible for a 20-year-old guy to push the Secret Service out of the way and get it, no. The idea he's doing that is also just, you know, out of character, frankly.
Nonsense.
Even if Trump is an interesting guy. But if you go to the next one here, there's also just the debunk that, well, he arrived in an SUV and left in an SUV. And that's not the beast.
So they were definitely lying, right?
It's just, the beast isn't there for the speech. So how could he have gotten it and then ridden in the beast and then decided, I'm going back? It doesn't make any sense.
You would have thought they would have double-checked that BS before they'd spouted it.
I mean, they've been showing this footage the whole time with the SUV in the background. So you would have thought they would have been like, but apparently not. So, of course, this being an obvious lie became an instant meme because it's freaking hilarious. I mean, what other dumbass stories can we just make up about President Trump?
I mean, they do just, like, they've just lied over and over and over, and they've been caught in all of these lies.
Needlessly.
Yeah, well,
you needlessly make this stuff up. No one's asking you to.
The Russian collusion, the piss dossier.
The GTA episode.
Yeah, now the GTA episode. It's like, why?
As you can see, GTA Senator Poso reporting this news as well, engaging the meme. But if you go to the next one here, there's some other memes that came out, as you can see. Donald Trump and Grand Theft Auto.
That's actually great.
It don't look too bad. His face is a bit weird. But
some of those are really good. Good job. Like, they fit.
Yeah, I'd love to see someone, you know, just add the music and the slight moving of the images as it's a loading screen.
It's not even weird that Trump could be a character in GTA.
It could be anything cool, frankly. But you go to the next one, there's also just some other retellings of what happened. Quote, he's taken control of the presidential limo and he's doing donuts on the White House lawn. I also heard that he changed the radio station to InfoWars, says Poso here. Who's
to hear Alex Jones saying, don't go in the Capitol.
Whatever you do, don't go in. And Trump's like, pussy. Just drives up the steps in his limo right through the door.
I always knew he was a controlled shill.
We go to the next one. There's also just some quotes here, which the president then ripped out the steering wheel, proceeded to place it on his lap, and then what happened? He said in a private voice, "It's driving me nuts." It's just like no, it's just not happening. If we go to the next one, we're gonna see more Poso memes. I saw Trump squeeze an entire tube of ivermectin into his mouth before he started doing donuts on the congressional lawn. Bro, I saw it too. And the dude with the horn and the helmet was riding shotgun. It's just like, Joe Rogan was flying overhead in a chopper and dropping DMT. I love it. I kind of love that. It's just the whole political scene is now just green text posting.
This sounds like a Flash Gits cartoon.
Yeah.
This whole thing.
And then Batman came out, and then John Wayne, Chuck Norris descended from above. There's more memes, of course. There are endless memes about this, so I thought we'd draw more of these. See one here. I saw it. You got Trump there. Screwing up the lawn some more. Yeah, the next one, though.
Evil Knievel Trump.
Yeah. There's Grand Theft Auto 6, Capital City, which, to be honest, would actually be a good game.
Yeah, probably would.
That. The main character could be Trump as well. Be awesome. Even if it's a mod. To be honest, actually, probably someone should mod that in to the online game. But okay. Let's go to the next one, because we also have some footage to prove that actually this did happen. Ah. As you can see here, Marjorie Taylor Greene coming out and being like, actually, I give my hands up on Trump. He is a lunatic. Let's play the footage and see what really happened.
I'm crossing the gate. I think I'm seeing the presidential limo driving across the ground.
There we have it. Who can deny
proof.
This irrefutable evidence that Hutchinson presumably has because there's nothing else. So if it's not movie footage, what else you got? Well, don't worry. There's some footage. There's some other photos.
Oh.
Photographic evidence here. As you can see, GTA posts are posting. Breaking, January 6th committee special witness provides never-seen-before photo of Trump lunging at the wheel of his limo. Don't pan out, because of course it's from the truck.
Yeah.
The big beep-beep moment. Also, I decided to type into DALI again and just see if DALI could also confirm that this happened, and here we have it. The image itself of before he got into the driver's seat. Because there's also the aspect that if he didn't pull down the bullet-resistant glass there, then he would have had to like get out and like climb over the top like Spider-Man or something, and then punch his way into the driver's cab. But it's ridiculous. So there is a response from Trump, who is also equally enjoying the memes. And if we go to the next one, we can see his response here, which he just goes off and saying she's completely full of S, of course. That's ridiculous. But the funniest part of this statement, her biggest job duty with us was making sure we had Diet Coke in the kitchen, and on at least two occasions she brought in Diet Pepsi.
Total failure.
awful employee. Couldn't even get that right. So the idea that she can get anything right.
She's a six, but turn her back on maggot.
He goes on to say, the kids say, I don't say this, but the kids do, quote, she's a 10, but, and I can't go further than that, but if we're being completely honest, she's a 6, but turned her back on MAGA, and therefore, you know, shouldn't be taken seriously in any aspect.
God, I miss Trump being on Twitter.
It's such a good response. Like, I was kind of skeptical at first that these, you know, presidential releases that he did would be as entertaining. They're way more entertaining. I kind of love, because they come out like it's really the Emperor's Diktat or something almost.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah,
you're
yeah.
waiting for it because it's not so easily available as it used to be.
And it's brought to you by his messengers. He can't speak to you directly.
No, he's too far. He lives on the hill.
Poso says it's not real.
Apparently. Oh, damn, is it not?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I expect it to be real.
I'm surprised.
Within the day.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it's real.
And this is why I believed it, because I was just like, okay, well, it's got to be real. But to be honest, I imagine he would print that in the coming days. If not, he should probably just post it because... why not? It'll be funny. But if you get the next one, there is actually some evidence that the driver just said it's BS. It's not true. As you can see there, Tony or NATO, I don't know how you say his name, who was driving the car saying he completely denies that he ever told her this. It's just made up.
So the person she claims told her that Trump tried to grab the wheel and then ram raid the White House was like, no, that never happened.
No. She said he was the source, and he's like, I'm not. It's not true. So also he said he's confirmed to go up and testify that that didn't happen.
Oh, this is a very Amber Heard moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look, when he pushed Kate Moss down the stairs and Kate Moss just like, no, he didn't.
My dog stepped on a bee. No, no. Just... And he's not the only one who said that this is utter BS.
Oh, really?
Funnily enough, because there are quite a few people who hang around Donald Trump and would probably know if he took the
wheel. Probably there on January the 6th.
And then, you know, pirate voice just started going, it's driving me nuts, let me get the rigging. Like, it didn't happen. As you can see, the Secret Service have also said that it's not true. It's just made up. Also, it's just the limousine SUV problem persists there. And then the fact, you know, they'll also testify because that's just nonsense, obviously.
I like... DeSantis' press secretary there at the bottom. Not surprising, because it makes no sense. Obviously, the president is not sitting in the passenger seat. He's always in the back of the vehicle. It's like, yeah. Because they're acting like he was just sat in the front with the guy. He's like, right, grab the wheel, do what's up.
Let me drive, you suck.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, come on. It's just embarrassing for the left at this point.
But it is just so funny. Again, just needlessly making stuff up. It was just like, no one asked you to do this. No one asks you to make yourself ridiculous at every possible step. Because in the footage as well, I'm kind of annoyed I didn't clip it now. You can see even that rhino lady, I can't remember her name, the one who everyone hates, who's hosting the January 6th committee with the blonde hair and the glasses.
Oh,
name escapes me.
Which was it, John?
Cheney. Yeah, that one. Because you can see her listening to this BS going, tell me more, it's so important. Yeah. It's just like, both of you must know this is going to get called out.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, this is such a ridiculous gambit to be like, yeah, so we've got all this. I mean, everything so far has been hearsay, right? So nothing.
Oh, yeah. There's no foes.
Yeah.
That wasn't actually real.
But not just this. Like, just generally, it's all hearsay at these testimonies. It's like, okay, but like, this is coming from a faction of politics, a wing of politics, that's persistently lied about this particular guy. And now you've been caught in further lies before the testimonies are even over. And so any further investigation can be done. Like, you must understand this is destroying your credibility.
I mean, it's the polling show. No one cares.
Yeah, no one cares about this. But
then if you wanted to make people care, just making up things that will be disproven like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't help your case in the slightest. In fact, it makes you more ridiculous and makes people less care.
Yeah, I mean, like, when this started, when the January 6th hearing started, I saw a bunch of Republicans going, well, this is just a party political broadcast from the Democrats about how Republicans are evil and Trump's evil. It's like, yeah, and everyone could see it. And so no one paid any attention to it because it was so obviously like the Democrats licking their wounds basically
and
over
they
this.
Just doubled down.
And yeah, I didn't expect it to be like a rake in face moment, you know, like stepping on, you know, sideshow bobbing it through this thing. Like, you didn't have to do this to yourselves, you know?
The sideshow bob element is so true because I see all their posts with the update, be like, the American people were working hard to find the truth. And it's again, just something that they've made up. It's just like, you don't need to do this.
Yeah.
But the story goes on.
Oh, okay.
Because that's, you know, the political side of it, which is freaking hilarious. But then Amber Heard 2.0 started trending, as you predicted, which is just that, well, yeah, why is she just making stuff up and then everyone's going to come on and be like, no.
Because the MAGA freaks hate women, even though one of the problems they really had was that white women decided to vote Trump. It's like, oh, those woman-hating women.
Yeah.
They're just awful.
This verified check mark saying that it's so Amber Heard 2.0 trending because, obviously, no, she's just making stuff up and looking as stupid. And then, this is because everyone in MAGA hates women, not likes facts.
That's right.
I hate it. I mean,
that's it.
If I mean, this is a weird report. I mean, this lady here is essentially saying that when women lie, they should be believed because they're women. And if they don't, then you're oppressing women because lying is some kind of, like, you know,
intrinsic quality of a woman.
Being a woman. Yeah.
Hmm.
So the idea that, you know, that's
high opinion
is,
of women there, Eve.
I mean, Eve, women could just stop lying. Then they wouldn't be called Amber Heard 2.0, which is what, you know, most women are like, don't have to deal with that.
I love
not like you.
I love the response here. Hard agree. Note the way the similarity in language used by Depp regarding Ellen Barkin and Trump as to Hutchinson. It's like, okay, but there appears to be a case of two high-profile women lying publicly, being caught lying publicly. And so needless to say, the people who are saying you're lying, yeah, the rhetoric might have a similar sound to it because it's not true.
Just reading Donald Trump's actual post there, it is just as funny as well. She is bad news. Never heard anything good about her, anyway. But
it is basically the same as the fake statement.
It's just like, who cares? It's, to be honest, though, you really should put that out. Like, go further. Yeah. Why not?
She brought Pepsi Max, damn it.
But there's the end of that, which is the end of the story as it's known there, which is just someone makes something up, gets mocked, and then it's like, no, but I'm a woman. And it's like, Okay.
Congratulations.
Weird moments.
My condolences. I don't. What am I supposed to say to that?
That's the funny story in the US, but I thought we'd just check in with Poso again real quick before we leave the United States, which is just, remember we did the Pizza Hut nationalism?
Yes.
He found this post. Someone had a mall with a Burger King that was boarded up behind a wall. No one knew what was in there until they brought the wall down, and now they find this perfectly intact old-timey Burger King.
It's like a time capsule from the 80s.
Yeah, and they're checking it out, and a lot of people in the comments were just like, oh my god, you know, it's so different. And one aspect, as I friggin' told you, look, in the olden days, there used to be comfort stuff on the seats, little bit of foam for you to sit on.
Plants. I mean, they're fake plants, but it's to make it look nice.
It's an attempt, instead of just being like, you know.
Come into our restaurant and not be treated like a robot consumer.
Have this wooden stool to sit on and get out.
Oh, no, worse, plastic stool. It's just like, you know, this is the cheapest. Wood costs money, Callum. You know, extended plastic, that's on. That's going to last until mankind has died out, and it's very uncomfortable, and it's very cheap.
But anyway, that's the United States. I thought we'd just check in for the end of this segment, because it wasn't as full. I thought we'd just check in with some of the funniest things that are happening in the UK. And this is what I found the funniest thing recently, which is Halifax. Because, of course, again, it is the holy month of Pride.
Yes.
On Pride Month, can you believe it? Halifax decided to put this up. Halifax is a bank, people who don't know, with the racial pride flag in their profile. Yeah. Pronouns matter, with a little sign there says Gemma, she, her, hers, in case you were confused, because you look at Gemma and can't tell because of reasons, shall we say. And if you scroll down on this, you can see more of the response you should do, which is just people being like, hey, is this a joke? And then Halifax responding, hi, I'm Lee. At Halifax, we strive for inclusion and equality. Blah, 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 blah. And then someone just says, well, no, that's not what any of this is about, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, this is a completely highly political issue between intersectionality and everyone else, frankly.
Oh, I love this response, though. Go down a bit.
And then they just, what do they respond with?
We strive for inclusion, equality, and quite simply, in doing what's right.
And if you disagree with our values, you're welcome to close your account.
You think I'm taking a lecture on doing what's right from a fucking bankers? Like, are you serious?
I'm sure Halifax had nothing to do with 2008. But then just the, we strive for inclusion. If you don't like it,
close your account.
Time for exclusion.
Yeah.
Get lost.
But the idea that, like, in doing what's right, it's like, listen, right, you're not a moral authority. You speculate on people's money. That's what you do.
At best.
You professional usurers can shut your goddamn mouths.
But that's at best. That's when they're doing
their
job.
And that's the only thing you do.
At their worst, you know, they're promoting castrating children. Which is what, you know, Halifax has now decided is their real job. Instead,
well, we need a bit of racial segregation with our neutering of children as well, please. You know? Like, we can't have a colorblind.
You know, in 2008, everyone started calling us wankers instead of bankers, and that wasn't enough. So we want to be called nonces and groomers instead. So
imagine being like, yeah, we're doing what's right. So and the thing is, right, you know, 100 years ago, you'd have had a Nazi, or 80 years ago, you'd have had a Nazi flag behind there, going, we're doing what's right. You know, these ideological conquests never last long, and they always age poorly.
Yeah. And Andy. You can see, Cal, you know, they get completely destroyed, even on Twitter.com, which, you know, is good to see. Even in progressive spaces, this is a laughing
story. Yeah, yeah.
You can see Calvin there responding, just being like, you know, when the cult of woke is more important to a business than generating returns for shareholders, it's time to get worried. I saw Lawrence Fox making the point. It was just like, when the banks don't want your money, something's gone wrong. And why do they not want your money in a bank? It's because of ideology.
Imagine you're working at the bank. You're some head honcho at the bank, and someone's like, "Yeah, so our social media manager is encouraging people to close their accounts." Like, what? Why? Why is for inclusion?
We don't have anything else.
Yeah, that's what we do.
I mean, like, we've got friends who have made this complaint to me endlessly. There's a guy who works at a car company here who is just endlessly as a head in his hands, can we just sell cars? Can I just sell a fucking car and make money? And it's somewhat understandable to the sense of, like, you know, if you make products, there are at least things around. But for a banker, money is all that exists. I mean, there's no cars around you can at least look at that aren't sold and be like, well, at least I've got this around. But no, you've got nothing. And if we go to the next one here, there's also just a response I saw from David, which is very true, which is, Halifax, not really known for their BAME staff either. So,
good point.
Yeah, so people doing the highest of, you know, allegiance signalling to the cult of intersectionalism. Also, not very diverse.
God, it's so embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah, every time. We stand for racial segregation. That's right, we're all white.
I mean, honestly, I can't help but just see Nazi flags when they're doing this.
Oh, 100%.
That's all it is.
It's a party flag. It's an ideology flag. This is not a nation. You know, this is not, I don't know, a charity flag. This is not a flag of a company. This is a flag of a state ideology, frankly. And if we go to the next one here, we're going to see just every other bank, of course, in the UK does this as well. I do fully appreciate the first one there from Barclays, who went with the racial pride eagle, which...
looks very German.
Deutschland, Uber, alles
Uber. Go back to the Barclays one. Why have they rearranged it so it is the German flag?
I don't know. Because as you can see, you've got the black, red, and then the yellow is a little bit out there, but the orange is close enough. So you do have Deutschland über alles within the Pride über alles.
But it's interesting how they've got the progressive stack going on here. The gays are at the bottom, then the Germans, then the browns, then the trans. So in the intersectional hierarchy, the Germans are doing pretty well, actually.
Yeah, although it is weird because... Why the Germans? Like, why did they rearrange it like that? Maybe it is to just send us a message. I mean, are they just laughing at us now? I mean, they've got a German flag on an eagle for racial pride.
Well, why are the blacks lower than the browns?
Well, there's a complexity. The black and brown stripes, they don't just stand for people of colour.
Oh.
You know what else they stand for?
No.
AIDS.
What?
I'm not joking. We've showed it before. I don't think you were here for it. Sesame Street decided to educate me on this.
Oh.
You know, for kids. Need to learn this. Apparently, the black and brown stripes are for queer people of colour and AIDS, victims of AIDS.
So Germany is one third AIDS.
Well, I mean, it's more than a third, but let's go to the next one. So we see the fact that Martin also made the point, Pride über alles is not just in our eagles that fly over our banks, but also everywhere. We featured this before, this image from Wembley, with because we've shown the propaganda street, but this one as well. Good God, the symmetry. But the also the aspect that they've now got lights on them. So, even when it's dark, Pride shines brightest. So you know your place. Don't you forget. I mean, it's weird being in London. Like, I went there the other day. It's just like you arrive, you see posters reminding you. You walk down a street and there's flags everywhere reminding you. Just in case you forget, you go in the underground and there's things in there reminding you. It's like, is there a moment of peace in this city?
Honestly, this is just Nazi conquest of Germany and Austria.
I mean, leftist identitarian politics. Okay, well,
nothing new.
There's a reason that when you put four of those together, they take it so personally.
Yeah.
That it turns out to be a swastika. And it's because, well, identitarian politics is all they've got. There's also, just to end this on, which is back to the United States, though, which is probably one of the creepiest aspects of this. And apparently,
Canada, actually, not the United
Canada.
States.
But the rest of the Anglosphere is also included, of course. But the fact that, of course, this is what the banks really stand for in there, which is, as you can see here, Kinder Pride. It's like, take all the kids from kindergarten and take them out and force them to engage in pride because...
Grooming?
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I mean, how old are those kids? I mean, I'm very bad at guessing kids' ages, but probably not old enough to even know what a gay person is or a straight person.
It's not their business.
No, not even really a clue. And then you're giving them gender ideology because, well, why? For indoctrination purposes.
They look about 5 or 6.
I mean, bringing it up, it's weird to mention it, but just like the first segment of Constantine's book I've been reading, I don't know if this breaks the embargo or not, hopefully not, but he just mentions growing up at the Soviet Union, how he would be lectured at school about what was right and wrong, and he went home to his parents, and of course they had the talk, as all Russian parents did, which is whatever we say in the house, nowhere else, you can't say anything, and I imagine it's the same there, as you can see. I imagine if any of the parents find out, they're just like, but what can I say? Because they're going to end up losing their positions, because we live in a free country, of course. But anyway, that's that. And John just loaded up here, just last thing, from the Reclaim Party, just celebrating that apparently they've released a new documentary called Groomed as well, to let everyone know that how our taxpayers' money is being spent on grooming kids all over the UK, not just the rest of the Anglosphere. We're also included.
We're going to have to do a review of it.
But there we are. That's the Trump taking the wheel, which is a hilarious story. I look forward to the more green texts and maybe the Osama bin Laden paintings people are going to make now, but also the Uber Alles that we have in the UK.
So, the Conservative government has released the provisional data of the UK census for 2021, this being, of course, 10 years after the 2011 census, and my, how Britain has changed. If you want to know what Britain used to be like, well, we've done some hangouts on this on loadseats.com. We did this hangout just going through old footage of Britain, and you can see that mass migration is a very recent phenomenon, and you can see it just looking at the streets of the UK. Pretty much any point up until the 2000s.
I love how you got a source video footage.
Yes, yes. I mean, we'll go into the actual numbers in a minute. But so the question is, well, what's Britain going to look like if we continue with mass immigration? And of course, we've covered this too. It's going to look like Mega City 1. because there appears to be absolutely no end to this. And I don't think it's a coincidence that 20% of the Conservative Party's donorship is housing developers. And so when they bring in more and more immigrants, well, you kind of know why. But anyway, so let's begin. The government has released their very provisional data, but they say why. Well, no, in fact, they don't say why, and that's the issue. They haven't released anything else. So the first results were published yesterday, but only by sex, just so raw numbers and sex. And so now, good news for the feminist immigration policy, there's slightly more women than men in the UK.
I don't know if that's the immigration policy.
But... No, I don't know. Maybe as Ukrainian
boat people don't serve that purpose.
No, they certainly don't. But they do say, well, look, we are going to publish the rest of the data. From October to the end of the year in 2022, we will publish a series of data and supporting commentary groups by a similar theme known as topic summaries. Proposed topic summaries in publication order are demography and migration, ethnic group, national identity, language, religion, and various others. But you can see how they're like, right, okay, we've got all this information. But we need supporting commentary to go with this, because this is going to look like a bombshell and you're going to be really angry with us. And so we kind of need to soften the blow so you're not furious that we, the Conservatives, for the last 10 years have been in government and we've just carried on and made, in fact, intensified Tony Blair's immigration policy. It's really insufferable at this point.
But also just the, you know, every other decade we've released this on the dot, all the data, have a go. This time round, we're going to segregate it out just over time.
It's really interesting because the news is that goddamn bad. But anyway, so let's have a look at their visualization of the census. So what we have so far, this we've just pulled up because you've got to choose a city before you get the data. So we've just chosen Swindon, sunny old Swindon, and things haven't been going well. So there were 59,597 300 people living in England and Wales on the 21st of March, 2021. So the last census over a year ago now, found that there were just under 60 million people, and that's who they could account for. There are at least a million illegal immigrants, if not more, right? But as according to what they can account for, just about 60 million people.
I think we can also corroborate that, because I remember Tesco's releasing at one point that they measure how much toilet paper gets sold in the UK as a reasonable measure of how many people there are, and it never lines up with the census. It's a million or so more.
Yes. And so this is 3.5 million more than in 2011. The largest census population ever recorded. Is that good? Why are you saying it? Like, oh, look at this. This is the best we've ever done. No, this is not the best you've ever done. This is terrible. This is why you can't afford to buy a house, okay? But notice, right, that, okay, so there are 60 million people. When we get the ethnic breakdown of the data, I will place money on the fact that it will be about 45 million English and Welsh people. Because for the last 50-odd years, there have been 45 million English and Welsh people in this country. There's been a really consistent number for like 50 years.
We don't replace ourselves.
No, well, we do, actually. We've maintained a fairly stable population.
I know, I mean, the last couple of years it's...
But in the last... Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute, right? And so this is actually more than the 300,000 net year expected that we had calculated. Because, of course... every year we get something like 750,000 people coming in and about 400,000 people leaving. And so, well, it's about 300,000 people. And so if you add that up over time, you'd expect 3 million over 10 years. No, 3.5 million. So it's actually been over what was expected. So, but hey, that's only 6.3% compared to between 2000 and 2000 or 2001, 2011, when it was 11%. It's like, great. So the flood... The big wave has come and now it's just an open gate.
But then how much of that, because if the numbers we're not replacing ourselves has gotten worse and worse, I mean, a lot more of the...
Well, we won't know until we get the ethnicity breakdown, see how many people exactly identify as English or Welsh. But anyway, this growth, if you can scroll down, is not evenly distributed. Yeah, keep scrolling down a bit. Oh, there we go. So... Sorry, go back up. So you can see, these are the areas. There we go. Sorry, go back up again. So you've got Wales, 1.4% increase. Everywhere else in England, 8, 7, 7, 6, 7, until you've got the northeast and northwest. The northeast, 1.9, but even like Yorkshire and northwest, still 3 and 5%. These aren't native growth rates. These are immigrant growth rates.
I mean, it almost makes me wonder why we include Wales in the data, because if you wanted a more accurate reality of what it's like to live here,
yes,
wouldn't.
And so that's very interesting. The growth is confined almost entirely to the South and Midlands of England. Brilliant. That's great. A lot of this will incidentally be people fleeing London, which is what, like, you know, the East of England's numbers are probably going to be. Lots of people getting out of London. Anyway, so the English region with the largest increased population was, of course, the East of England, which was 8.3 or 488,000 more residents. Sorry, we're a giant, untapped land of resources. It's just another 500,000 people, mate. Don't worry about it. In Swindon in particular, since where we're from, we got hit pretty hard from all of this. Of all the southwest, we had a growth rate of 11.6%. From 2011, which was 209,000 people, to 233,000 people. Again, why are the house prices going up so much? Well, it's because tens of thousands of new people have come here in the last 10 years. And that is higher overall than the increase for England, which was overall 6.6%. But we're only the third highest in the southwest. Tewkesbury and East Devon are higher at 15 and 13%. Imagine a 15% increase in your population. It's madness. Tower Hamlets, though, was the largest place for population growth in the UK.
Well, that's babies.
Possibly.
I'm going to say it.
It could be. It could be immigration as well. 22.1%. A fifth larger in 10 years.
That's a place in London for people who don't know as well. So
it's a very diverse
place. It's very fit more people in there as well.
Yeah. But then Dartford was the second at 20%. Probably not babies. But anyway, just the reason I bring all of this up is because I predicted this. I was absolutely on the money. Back in March, I had gone through all the census data and then extrapolated from the census data what the current 2021 census data was likely to be. And I'd written, including estimates of illegal immigration, it is now conceivable that somewhere in the region of 25% of the population of England and Wales is now foreign. Wow, was I correct. In fact, I was understating it, actually. Because, of course, they're not including the illegal immigrants in the census data. So, there's at least a million illegal immigrants here. But there we go. So it turns out that I was right. One in four people in Britain, in England and Wales, are foreign. And really that means in England, because Wales is hardly getting any of these foreigners. So there we go. The Conservative Party, in the last 10 years, have increased it so it's one in five people who are a foreigner in England are now one in four. And is there any stopping this? No, of course there's no stopping this.
I think that, what's the definition there, just for people who don't know? Because I'm pretty sure it's foreign-born, isn't it? That's what they usually use?
I don't know why we wouldn't just use the self-identification of the people themselves.
There's that as well.
Do they self-identify as English or Welsh? That's how you know whether you're foreign in England. It's an easy way of doing it, and it's self-identifying. Now, that's not to say they don't have a right to live in England, they don't have citizenship, but that is to say that the Conservatives are doing this on purpose. They're doing this completely on purpose. They know what they're doing. So the Conservative government last year allowed 1.16 million foreigners to come here. Why? Why? It's like, why on earth are they doing this? Like, Blair would never have dared to do this. A million people in a year. And these people wouldn't have been counted in the 2021 census, probably.
No.
So, because this is, you know, the census done in March. Well, for the rest of that year, you know, who knows? But this is the thing. And again, I'm not saying that foreign people can't live in England. What I am saying is that... Well, I mean, see, you've got to say it because otherwise, right, think no foreign people can live? No, of course foreign people can live here. That's fine. But there's a point what we have to accept that the numbers are making the country different to what it was. And there's actually no reason that this level of immigration has to be sustained.
Just quickly doing that, it's like 1.5% of the population in a single year.
Yeah.
That's what that migration is, that excluding the illegal for that year as well.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of, I don't know what the figures are, but it kind of makes me think of like the colonization of North America or something.
Yeah.
It's just like the levels are mad. Like the ethnic groups that are native to the land are just vanishing.
Yeah. And they're being actively crowded out of their own cities, which is probably one of the reasons they're holding back the ethnic data, because we're going to look at the cities when we get this data. And we're going to find, I think that London will be about 33% English at this point. And so, look, this doesn't have to continue. This shouldn't continue. It's immoral to do this to people, to make them feel like aliens in their own land, because now one in four people here are foreign and non-English. It's not right. You wouldn't do this to anyone else. It's not right to do to anyone. And so, anyway, the complaint, though, oh, well, we're running out of babies. Are we? Is that the complaint? Well, apparently it is. This James writes for The Spectator and The Times going, oh, Britain's running out of babies. That means trouble ahead. That means we'll need more immigration.
We're going to import baby immigrants. Is that what you're saying?
This is a conservative.
No, then the complaint is not babies, is it? The complaint is you want more people to turn up.
The labour markets. Screw the labour markets.
We could do nothing else. There is no way we could possibly help people have children. There is no aspect of life that could be improved to do that at all. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll just import hundreds of thousands of foreign working age men.
Or just foreigners from anywhere. Like, literally, it doesn't even matter where they're coming from. You know, it's like the English are being crowded out of England. And this is just irrefutably true by the numbers. Like, we have the numbers. Anyway, so he carries on and he's like, we need to talk about why people are having fewer children. It's like, yeah, okay. But, like, you don't want the answer.
Because you've already decided that the answer is just import more immigrants. Yeah. So what does it matter of why people are having fewer or more?
The answer is that people need to get married and women need to have children.
Love Miles.
Yes. Yeah. No more immigration. Yeah, absolutely, Miles. And a little ratio on him as well. But this is the point. It's like, you know, he's going, well, there are suggested causes for the falling birth rate. The housing market might be responsible for the falling birth rate. That's not James.
No. Hang on. Let's take that true for a minute as well. Because let's say that's the reason. That's the sole reason. It probably is a significant one. But okay, people aren't able to get an affordable house and then settle down and have kids. Mm. Right. What's the problem with that? Why are we in that situation? Because we import so many goddamn people, we can't build houses fast enough to deal with that.
Yep.
And the house prices rocket as a result. So your solution is to import more people so that the house prices go up so that we'll have less babies.
I mean, I wouldn't have any objection if it was controlled. If there was some sort of, like, if there was a cap, a limit, it's like, okay, we're going to have like 20,000 people a year. And these people would be distributed evenly around the country. Then you would have integration. None of the problems, the ethnic conflicts, the cultural collapse in cities, none of these things would actually be a problem. None of these things would be occurring.
No. But it's just, even just to take this person at his word, I mean, it comes off as almost evil when you're like, one of the problems is the high cost of housing. So we'll make that worse, so then there'll be less babies. It's like, right, so when you noticed there were less babies being produced, that wasn't a complaint. That was, well, that's good. Let's carry on that, surely. Otherwise, you're not following your own logic.
But at the end of the day, I personally put it down to middle-class antinatalists like James. Not saying he's an antinatalist, but he's very...
Makes me sus. Why would you come to this conclusion?
Yeah, exactly.
No reasonable person would.
The one thing you need to talk about is why English women aren't having babies, okay? That's what you need to talk about. And it has to be just understood that if our civilization is going to continue... then the women of our civilization have to give birth to succeeding generations. Like, you can say, well, that's not very feminist. I'm like, that's true.
Yeah.
But it's true.
That's what reality is. Exactly. It's not very feminist.
So. And that needs to be addressed. But it can't be addressed because, of course, you know, like, he says here, it's right wing or even faintly racist. Is it really? Is that, like, you listening to left-wingers when they say it's right-wing or racist suggest that maybe the British should have babies so Britain can continue?
Yeah. I mean, he is saying, you know, some people say this, that's baseless, but just, I don't even...
Don't address it.
The fact
don't
that people even bring it up just makes me cringe, because it's just like, why are you listening to that? Why are you even giving any credence to that existence of an opinion? Because it's ridiculous.
And as you've pointed out previously, the UK fertility rate is below the replacement rate. It's at 1.753, apparently. That's including the foreigners that are here, though. The actual, you know, the English and Welsh birth rate is probably lower than that.
But... yeah, well, you can look by county, and the lowest areas are the most Welsh areas of Wales.
Oh, really?
Actually. So there you have it. I mean, Welsh-speaking as well. That's how Welsh those areas are.
So we're furiously building houses for foreigners. How wonderful. Tom Harwood, however, let's get a good take from Tom Harwood on this.
Do you have a four-leaf clover?
No. Population growth is slowing. ONS figures out today show that we are not even at 70 million yet. Germany is at 84 million. Oh, we're losing the race, Tom. Oh, look, the Germans got 84 million. Oh, God.
You know that India has a billion. Oh, God, we're losing really bad.
Yeah.
Tom, who cares?
You're a moron, mate. Like, you are an absolute moron. Our fertility crisis is driven by a housing crisis and childcare cost crisis. No, it's driven by the fact that women are not having babies.
But even if you take it as true, even if you take his point as true, what's causing the housing crisis? What's causing the fact that we can't afford childcare?
But what's his solution? You're going to love this, Callum.
More immigrants?
The UK needs to gently densify its cities and do more to address our decline in fertility. Densify the cities. Live in those giant tower blocks, Callum. and produce babies.
I'm a Grenfell enjoyer.
Yeah, that's okay, Tom Harwood's suggestion. And then address our decline in fertility. Tom, you genetic dead end, shut up. You're never going to have children, and you know why, we know why, so just be silent on this issue, because you're just not involved in the conversation, Tom, and your solutions are just terrible. You're a terrible person who never listens to a single other person. But anyway, let's go to the Guardian response here. And that's why it's a good thing.
Oh, we're at that stage. At least we've progressed.
We are at that stage.
It's happening. Now it's a good thing. Okay. One more step.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Population growth is a charged issue in the UK. But using it as a proxy concerns about migration is misleading. Lamau.
Sorry, what? Are the Guardian under the delusion that all this is all babies?
There are more people here than ever. This is because of mass immigration. But if you're concerned about migration, that's misleading. Bull. Absolute bull. The fact that the population of England and Wales is 59.5 million tells us very little. No, it tells us a lot. Tells us that we've been subject to mass immigration and it's significantly changing the face of this country and the economic circumstances of the people who live in this country. It is making huge pressure on the housing market that is affecting young people who would like to buy houses. British young people.
Needlessly, as well. I mean, we joke about, you know, people needlessly telling lies when no one asked them to. I mean, no one asks the politicians to do this, yep, except property developers. I don't know who else is getting good out of this.
Yeah,
Nobody else is going better off.
No one else benefits from this at all, right? But anyway, as after the previous census results were released in 2013, MPs debated in Parliament whether to use immigration controls to keep the UK population below 70 million. And presumably Tom Hardwood was like, no, that'd be awful. We'll never catch up to Germany then. with one MP going, Britain is full. It's like, yeah.
Stupid as stupid things. It's like, I love the idea. He's like, well, China's got 2 billion, so they must be doing better than us.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
Their GDP per capita must be much better because they got more people. I don't know.
Yeah, look at the
gross domestic product. I eat crayons. I'm Tom Harwood.
I just can't stand it. It's so stupid. Ridiculous. It's like, look, man, we just can't sustain 1 million immigrants in a year. It just can't be done. Like, the numbers just add up.
Well, you know, it can be done, but just there's a lot of trade-offs.
Oh, God, well, I mean, yeah, it can be done for a period of time.
But you can also eat crayons like Tom Harwood, but, yeah, you know,
but like,
should you?
Exactly. It's in no way benefiting to the British, and it's only going to benefit the foreigners until it no longer benefits them, and then they just leave. I mean, literally millions of them have remigrated out of Britain in this time. It's just that the doors are so wide open, so many more can come in than leave. But anyway... They go on just to complain and whine, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to skip through most of it because we're running out of time. But I love the ending of this, right? There are certainly legitimate and complex issues to be discussed about how migration and integration issues should be managed. But let's be wary of the use of proxy issues such as population growth to camouflage these conversations. It's like, what integration? I would have loved to have seen integration. Which didn't happen. Did not happen. Absolutely nonsense.
I mean, there are government attempts, but they're pitiful. No, frankly.
And the numbers are too great. Numbers are just too great.
Do you remember when I gave my speech about feminist immigration, we went through one of the strategies government came up with. We're going to spend millions and millions on trying to integrate people because even they recognize that, oh, God, we really messed up.
Yeah.
And just wasn't going to work. I mean, like when you get to places like Savile Town, which is the most extreme example, I believe, what is it, like 90-something percent of Savile Town are Muslim, Pakistani, and in which case... Well, okay, when they have kids, what are those kids integrating into? Become footy supporters, will they?
They're
going to be on the local pub.
There's no English culture for them to integrate into.
I believe there used to be 9 pubs in Savile Town. There is now 0.
Hmm. Really interesting, that.
Hmm.
But yeah, so this is the tragic results so far released from the UK Census. And again, just to stress, I'm not saying that foreigners can't live in England. I'm saying that there is a massive problem with the sheer volume of people coming.
Go to the video comments.
So after we kill the chickens, then we dunk them inside of 150 degree Fahrenheit water. And after they've been dunked in there for a few seconds, then we transfer them to the chicken plucker, which has all these hard rubber fingers that are covered in little ridges that grip the feathers and yank them out as it spins. And yeah, it takes a lot of messy manual labor out of the process, and it's very clean.
That's very smart, actually.
My mum, when she was like 16, used to work in a chicken factory. She had to pluck chickens.
Yeah, it's painful. It takes forever.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's fun.
It looks much better.
Yeah.
Those who favour total freedom of speech should at least contemplate the possibility that there can be too much of a good thing.
Memoirs are a class of book I avoid assiduously, but if you are to write your own at any point, read Clive James's. He sets out to describe his life growing up near Sydney and capturing the events and people that featured before he moved to England. The enjoyment is that he deliberately fabricates certain events and alters names to protect those involved and also add to the wit that runs through all of his writing. Clive is very well read and extremely funny, making his memoirs self-effacing and engaging.
Hmm. All right, well, there we are. I feel like you're doing more book reviews than us as well.
Yeah, I know.
Let's go to the next one.
Mr. Cooper, I would like to remind you not to go above your own station before I have my shower after work. Callum isn't yours to troll. He is mine to troll through the power of cringe, as is Carl, and also Harry and everyone else in the load seaters and the live chat and anyone who views this. By the pure power of cringe, I troll everyone. Know your place. Callum isn't yours. Everyone is mine to troll.
That just came off as creepy, frankly.
And it worked.
The next one.
The orange.
I think you're reminiscing or something.
No, I
don't. Orange trees. People listening were watching some guy ride his old-timey tractor, which
it looks fun.
You watch Clarkson's Farm yet?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. My wife had been watching it, and I surprisingly enjoyed it.
You've done the whole season?
I can't remember.
Right, the next season's coming out. They're on Instagram and whatnot, and I went in there and started following them. You get spoilers for what they're up to. And
what's he doing next?
I don't want to spoil it. Which sounds really dumb because it's so mundane, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just a bloody farm.
But Clarkson's not a farmer, so it's actually really funny.
Yeah, I saw him do some interviews about it, and he did make that point really well. Just like, I knew it would be crap in the sense of like if it was just me, because I don't know anything, and all the farmers would be like, oh, you fucking
yeah.
But if he has Caleb and whatnot around who do know something, then it becomes a whole new dynamic.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, like, how far can he take it? I mean, like, 5 seasons down, I mean...
Well, he seems to have done a fairly good job, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I was...
I'd do worse.
At the ending, where he says that he made, what was it, £19 or £100 or something for the year, profit?
Oh, was that it?
And that was the whole thing. But then it kind of, it wasn't that bad, because he was saying, you know, it was the worst year ever for farming. You know, he had to buy all this new equipment to get everything done. He had no idea what he was doing.
So even with the cost of all the equipment, he still came into a profit.
Weather was terrible. COVID happens. Yeah. All the food prices are, you know, nuts. And, you know, even then he got, you know, it's bugger all profits. Don't get me wrong. It's not fun. But, you know, a normal year, that farm was making $90,000 profit.
Can't just complain about that.
So, you know, the previous farmer did it for him. But,
But
you know, just kind of made me want to become a farmer, honestly. But then I looked at the price of the farms.
Well, probably very expensive.
That's the thing. It's Caleb, actually. There was an interview I saw with him talking about it. He wants to become a farmer because, of course, he's just a tractor driver. I say just no. Just in the Cotswold, minimum price, £1 million.
Jesus Christ.
Because, you know, it's all tied up in an old country.
Yeah.
So it's just not going to happen, which is, you know, tragic. Mm. Someone who's clearly, you know, that way. Anyways.
But, I mean, that's the Cotswolds.
But still, I mean, even around here, I saw there were some fields up near the motorway.
You've actually been looking
into
this?
Yeah, of course it was. I think it was 2 fields, or 1 field, I can't remember now. Yeah. But it weren't that big, $250,000, just for the field. Nothing on it. It's just...
Oh, there we go.
Then you got to buy all the equipment and, you know, a house to live in. The hell with that. The next one.
So I've shown you guys a few of my other rifles. Here's my everyday carry. It is an M&P Shield 9mm single stack. Single stack, so it's nice and small. It's a good personal defense weapon. But if you want to know what the best personal defense weapon is, get yourself a 190-pound Mastiff and a 90-pound Pitbull. No one's coming into this house.
That's true, but isn't Pitbulls the meme dog for that, though?
Yes.
It's just like they make up.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sure the chat knows what I'm talking about, so I won't put it any further.
Doggos of peace is what they are.
People try, should we set up a farm? We got the expertise, that's for sure.
I'm not saying we can't.
You know. You know, these guys can be the Calebs and whatnot. Yeah. Like, so what am I doing? I put them in the ground and just it grows, right? Let's go to the next one.
All right, Carl, sorry, but we got to talk about furries for a second, because believe it or not, there's quite a few of them watching you right now. I think that there's actually one thing that we can learn from them. Take a look at furries for a second and think of all that rampant degeneracy that you despise so much about them. every single thing you see is a perfect example of a completely subverted fandom, and it's exactly what leftists will do to your interest if you let them. Whether it's anime or Warhammer or whatever, defend your culture. Don't let it get taken over and become like that.
I mean, that's a great point. And we actually have a live stream on Friday about gatekeeping in the Warhammer 4000 community. Because, spoiler, Warhammer, the Games Workshop came out and were like, yeah, there are no female Space Marines. And Howling was glorious. It'll be fun.
To qualify, I mean, it almost sounds like Defense of Furries, but it's not. It's just the, no one cares about the furries no. if they're not in public. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, when you see, like, an internet historian's video on, what was it, a fur forest or whatever the hell it's called. Are you sure?
I don't want to.
Mental. But it's just, it's a con where they made loads of money. The whole thing was profitable. Every hotel afterwards went, we keep your money. Nobody wanted them. They made loads. They offered them loads in profit. They're just like, I don't want it. None of the hotels wanted them.
Well, I can't blame them.
Yeah, but anyway, it's the in public nature of your weird fetish. And I remember there's some.
This
comments.
Is literally the banks refusing money now.
Yeah,
for ideological reasons.
But for this one, I can be like, yeah, fair enough. But it's just like we went.
It's about doing the right thing.
I went to Swindon Pride with some of the guys in the office, and we went up there. And this guy's in their fur costumes, hanging out with kids, and I'm just like. Like, I have people explaining, oh, no, some people do it for non-sexual reasons. I'm like, well, if it's non-sexual, why are you at Pride?
Yeah.
That's what this is about at this point. Yeah. You damn well know that. Because then you've got people in dog costumes that are their fetishes.
Well, which ones would you say are the ones not doing it as a fetish?
No one cares. Just keep it to yourself. Like, if it's your fetish, it's in the bedroom, not in the street.
Yeah.
Get the next one. C.S. Cooper showing off his collections. He's saying he sold out everything within 6 hours. Now he's panicking.
Oh no! C.S. Cooper suffering from success. Maybe you can go talk to some people. I don't know.
Set up an iPad with just the Amazon store. I don't know. Please buy it. No, not Amazon. CSCooper.com.au, of course. What am I saying?
But congratulations on selling out your books, man. That's really good.
Yeah, the next one.
Bring BB and Little Joan with another Legend of the Pines from NewJersey.com comes the story of Francis Hopkins. He was a delegate from New Jersey who signed the Declaration of Independence, and he lived in this house back in the 1700s in Bordentown, New Jersey. It's now a law firm. But they say sometimes at night you will see strange lights coming from the building and the shadows of a man and his dog roaming around. It is supposedly Francis and his loyal dog Frankie. Even in the afterlife, the doggos never leave you.
What a beautiful house.
I was about to say, one of the most impressive things is when you look back at, you know, early United States buildings, they're so good.
Yeah, yeah.
It actually looks enjoyable to live there.
Mm. And, you wouldn't have thought it was a prison colony.
No. Anyway, but yeah, the doggos do stay with you forever as well.
And he's there furiously signing the Declaration of Independence hundreds of years later.
Never mind. No, I was going to say. Do you ever see? Maybe you have. There's a guy in ancient Greece. You're a Greek buff, so there was a guy who just wrote about his dogs and how he loved his dogs and stuff. And it was really weird because it's one of those things where you can actually sympathize with a person so foreign to you because they still just like, yeah, he's a good boy.
No, I don't know.
Anyway, I'll find it for you. He does go off on a big weird tangent where he starts naming all the good names for dogs, and it's just like none of them are good either because, you know, the weird Greek names.
We were going to do a book on book club on Xenophons on horsemanship, but it was kind of like really crap.
Oh.
It was just like, yeah, this is how you look after a horse. Okay, that's not very interesting. I thought it would be about cavalry tactics or something. You know, saying, no, it's about taking care of good boy horses.
Whereas a pamphlet on being a good dog owner.
Well, that might be a good book club, yeah.
Although he did have some weird ideas about dogs, but I can't remember where any of them are now. I read about Historia Civilis talking about it. There was one guy, I think it might be the same guy, who did write about his dog and how he loved his dog, and all the townspeople thought it was kind of a bit weird how much he loved his dog, but I can't remember if that's true. So.
Oh, he was probably a good boy.
Yeah. Let's get the next one.
So seagulls are the leftists of the animal kingdom,
eating
the fruit of other people's labor.
Yeah.
Also, thinking of leftists, it's been interesting to see the mental gymnastics they have had to do in Norway since last Friday, since the mostly peaceful attack from the religion of peace on the gay community. Because, of course, when somebody shoots gay people, it's Muslims most affected.
That's a good. We haven't covered that, have we? Actually.
No, I didn't catch much of what he was saying. It's about Oslo, right?
Yeah, yeah. So in Oslo, an Iranian man shot up a gay nightclub.
For the crimes against the Iranian ethnic culture and nothing else?
For crimes against Allah, I think.
Really?
Presumably. And, of course, that's nothing to do with Islam. And
fake Muslim claim.
As he says, you know, what are the Norwegian leftists going to say about this? Muslims most affected?
Well, I don't know if you ended up covering it, but I sent you a link, and people haven't seen it, maybe. There was a BBC story where they went to Rotherham and met up with loads of local Muslim taxi drivers, and the person taxi drivers were like, yeah, it's been so hard on us.
Oh, yeah, no, I did cover it, yeah.
We're the real victims of
people
this story.
People keep looking like, acting like we're somehow complicit with the rape gang that everyone knew was going on.
Yeah, that's what someone complicit in a crime would be. Mm. Knowing about it, not, you know, getting it sorted.
The Muslim community of Rotherham are the real victims. Oh.
Those white slags can shut up for the sake of diversity. The next
the
one.
The Dawn Butler position.
Nash Shah, sorry. The Dawn Butler probably too.
Dawn Butler's not exactly going to be like, no, that'd be terrible.
Let's get the next one. Enlightened. I have no idea where that's from, the audio, but it's 100% true.
Callum, the audio from the video I sent to you guys on the 31st of May of this year was from a Luxembourg band called Rome, using the auto track titled Masters of the Earth. Whilst I cannot play any of the songs due to copyright, I recommend Rome as the band is based, usually singing about Western traditionalism, liberalism, and how the woke left has destroyed the production of the Western world.
Yeah, I have listened to their Rhodesia song, which is very good. I will give them that, because it's almost romantic as well. Mm. But then I checked them out thinking, oh, okay, maybe they got some other interesting songs. And I think I went to the most recent album or whatever was released, and it was just about how the EU is glorious. And I was just like, oh, God. Anyway.
The EU will remake the Roman Empire.
I'll have to go check out some of their other stuff, because clearly that was not the place to go.
Mm. Anyway, Carbohydrate Crusader says, Monica Lewinsky, now do the men. Me, once again, your terms are acceptable. Imagine trying to turn such a horrible crime into an identity defense bollocks. Yeah, I know, you were exactly right to make the point, but like, I mean, okay, like, I'll allow it. Longshank says, 10 years ago, the thing that marked you out as crazy was thinking that the elites were controlled by a secret group of pedophiles. I remember thinking how mad it sounded at the time. Now, I don't think there's anything too outlandish I won't believe that the elite haven't done. Yeah, I mean, one of the things is that a lot of the pictures of Ghislaine Maxwell, she's looking quite haggard. It's like, yeah, she needs that adrenochrome, baby. General Haiping says, Hillary priming herself for another Joker ta-da, the pencil's gone moment. That's good. Jimbo says, reminded that Ghislaine Maxwell gave a TED talk a few years ago about sea pollution. Yeah, it was called the Terramar Project. Isn't that interesting? She's like, the seas are basically undiscovered and unclaimed territory. You can go claim them. Can you? On your yachts. Child prostitutes.
Sorry, she wants to build rapture.
Something like that, yeah. It's almost as if you're a bad person in the public eye. Weaponizing good causes as a smokescreen as a tried and tested formula. No wonder Boris is trying his hand today at Putin's toxic masculinity. What do you make of that, Callum?
There were rumors that she left him, and I was really happy. Oh, they didn't turn out to be true. Because I really hope that if she did, he would just reform and become based again, hopefully.
Such a disappointment. SH Silver says they put her in for 20 years so they could justify sending her a cushy, low security prison she won't suffer in. Put this into perspective. Assange is put in max security and isolation for exposing the corruption of the state, while Maxwell is sent to low security prison for a continued silence on her complicity with the corruption. Josh is going to cover Assange tomorrow. George says Maxwell will not survive this 20 years. They may suicide her in several months to not make it too obvious, but then again, they didn't care about Epstein, so maybe she just have a couple of weeks. Yeah, I think they're beyond caring about the self-evident nature of what's going on. Maureen says, Maxwell cited a traumatic childhood in a plea for leniency. And sure, that kind of upbringing increased the risk of criminal activities in adulthood. Your experiences can exert influence on how you handle things, but at the end, it's all on her. She went ahead and did this several times. The only honourable thing that she can do now is to make every name public. Surely she must remember some of them. She knows I'll get killed very quickly.
Because I was one of the aspects of Douglas's book, he was talking about the fact that there was a story from this Jewish guy who he was called into a concentration camp's guardhouse, and the guard was dying, and the guards confessed to him for some reason. He asked for a Jew to come, and then she said, you know, I locked all these Jews in a building, we set fire to it, and shot anyone who tried to leave to try and get, you know, apologies from the Jewish guy. And the Jew's like, can't forgive you for that, of course. But also, I wasn't even there. I'm not their family member. So yeah. Even as a Jew, it doesn't make any sense, this idea of collective, but that's a whole other story. But the idea that she's trying to get, like, you know, if she wanted to even do a modicum of good, then, you know, if you're...
I mean, revealing the names would at least be one last good thing she could do.
It would be like the architect guy from the Nazi regime at Nuremberg, who just turned around and threw everyone under the bus. I was just like, yeah, no, I want to work with the Allies. I can't remember his name, Albert Speer.
Right.
Who was just like, yeah, no, it really was as bad, and I'm going to just give you the evidence.
Callum says, if I could, I'd set the KGB to Ghislaine Maxwell to get the necessary information on all members, customers, and associates of the Epstein child sex ring. Because honestly, still treating these people as civilized human beings is giving them far too much credit and rights for what they've done. Yeah, but unfortunately, they're the people in positions of power and they're going to protect each other, so nothing's going to happen. Taffy says, remember, if you walked within the ropes of the Capitol on January the 6th, you were a threat to the world and had likely been in solitary for over a year before getting a life sentence. If you send spicy memes about St. Floyd, a year. If you appear as a customer in Epstein's Black Book, silence. Righto then.
You get assistance.
Yes. You get sympathy from feminists online because you're a woman. Chris says, so is Ghislaine going to be suicided like Epstein? The dirt she knows about so many well-to-do and high-up names with influence in the US and Europe makes you wonder. Well, I mean, it seems inevitable, right? Just looks like it's going to happen. Joe says, when I get called a conspiracy theorist, I simply reply with, were you invited to the conversation behind closed doors? It's a good question. But again, she was convicted on two accounts of conspiracy. So it's like...
Yeah, I really hate that word. Just conspiracy theorist in general.
Yeah. So I don't. It's not an insult anymore. Like, I don't know who considers it to be discrediting, because most of the public believes in conspiracies at this point.
Because they happen on a regular basis way. And get exposed in the courts. So. Yeah.
Supreme Duck says, we need one of those intense, endless action movies with Trump as the main character, referring to the Trump takes the wheel. Yeah, just non-stop Trump action scene. Spartan Lycurgus says, Trump reached for the steering wheel, grabbed the agent's throat, and then he yelled, this is MAGA country. I mean, what, like the... It's, they thought, oh yeah, we'll just go up and make up the story. I mean, everyone hates Trump, don't they? Everyone I know hates Trump. Everyone hates Trump. Everyone will believe this.
I don't know what the... I mean, I know that the point in the January 6th committee and this whole thing is just, let's try and smear him so when he runs again, hopefully he won't win and we can, you know, get in again.
Mm-hmm.
But none of it's worked. I mean, I don't know what American is falling for any of this.
Well, no one, if Joe Biden's approval rate.
It's just, I remember seeing, what was it, one of them posting about the fact, don't worry, we've politicized, you know, abortion rights, gun control. Like, these are issues we can win on. It's like, no, like, even on everything you're doing right now, you come off as looking like someone who's just shat themselves.
Trump does higher in polls than Biden does at the moment.
Every issue, probably.
Yeah. Andrew says, the desperation of the Democrats for the midterms is amazing to behold. I just hope the midterms turn out to be as disastrous for the Dems as they fear that people are held accountable for the sheer destruction they wrought over the past few years. I mean, yeah, it's been, what, a year and a half for Biden? And look at the state of things. S.H. Silver says, amazing that someone's Trump fan fiction is being taken seriously in the halls of Congress. This clown show is all the Democrats have to distract from their horrible governance to try and punish the opposition. But all it does is make them look embarrassing and somehow Trump comes out better. Yeah, I know, that's the thing. It's like, well, we made Trump look like an absolute badass. Who's gonna
say, like, she pulls out this like little pink book that's her diary, and she's just wrote down what she wants to happen.
It's
and then Trump drove the limo to my house and said, Jessica, you're beautiful.
Then Trump defeated the Secret Service agents and then conquered... yeah, okay, great, you make him sound like a Chad. Jimbo says, Trump grabbing them by the steering wheel aside, this is media warfare in action. Yes, it is. You have a dubious testimony that tells the left exactly what they want to hear. The news and social media spread it around gleefully and it becomes the truth. Well, thankfully, it doesn't look like this has actually become the truth because it was refuted so very quickly and decisively. But by the time people poke holes in the story and rebuttals are issued at several Secret Service members are supposedly gearing up to do, it's too late. Those who want it to be true will become hostile to any sort of correction. Yeah, who has it said that it's easier to fool a man than persuade him he's been fooled? Probably like, I can't remember now.
I'll Google it. All right.
No, it's right on the tip of my tongue. It's really annoying me. Author, American author. For some reason, I want to say Thomas Paine. No, it's not Thomas Paine.
Are you faster than Google?
Huckleberry Finn.
What?
Who's the guy?
Mark Twain.
That's it.
There we are. Wow.
I think it was Mark
Twain. Google got it first. I thought you meant Huckleberry was.
No. But anyway, moving on. Adam says, anyone who believes that the story about Trump trying to overpower a Secret Service agent and the SUV driver indicates sheer stupidity, especially within 5 minutes of that story being aired and both the limo driver and the Secret Service offering to testify under oath that it didn't happen. I know, it's just ridiculous. But anyway, Carbohydrate Crusader says, damn, man, GTA Insurrection looks lit. I mean, again, this just makes it sound awesome. It's fun. Chris says, just how did President Trump grab the wheel from behind armored glass and survive in the survival space of the vehicle? This is just more Trump derangement syndrome. Yes. Radcheck was right, says, the Federal Reserve, trying desperately for months to prevent a run on the banks and subsequent economic collapse. This bank, if you don't like our politically divisive politics, then take all your money out because we don't want it. The Federal Reserve. Members of the Clinton Foundation have informed us that this bank's marketing team is on suicide watch. Maybe report that to their supervisor. Maybe you should close your account, says the social media account of Halifax Bank.
I'm just avoiding them. I'm with Moneybox now, mostly. That's where all my money is. And I just checked before we started, and no pride stuff.
Oh, really?
No, just, would you like more money? Here's some more options we have for you to save your money.
Wow, based.
Yeah, it's good.
Colin says, so they're going to release the data, the census, in such a way as to make it look better than it is rather than just release raw data. Yes, they are going to massage the data as much as they possibly can. And like you said, they were going to have commentaries. So basically media instructions on how to report this. So the public aren't like, well, hang on a second. You're worse than Tony Blair. Because you are. And you are, I mean, honestly, it's just so bad at the moment. Chris says, are they hiding info from the census because so-called right-wing racist theories would actually be proven accurate and correct? Yeah, that's exactly it. Like maybe a replacement of indigenous population scheme being pushed by the EU and members of the UK government and continual attracting of migrants by wasting UK taxpayer money. I wonder how the future state pension pots are looking now. Not good.
Well, they don't exist.
Yeah.
So there's no thing as a pension. The national insurance you pay doesn't...
We're in debt.
Doesn't sit around in a pot of money for you for when you get older and need the government pension.
We're in debt. We pay for it by debt. When we stop getting the ability to take out new debt, then, well, things will be different. Sophie says, yeah, there are people in here in Denmark who say they want to make the immigration laws less tight. And I'm just like, no. Yeah, well, that's the right answer.
On the Danish border, just singing the national anthem.
Yeah. X, Y, and Z says, it's interesting that people who are most wanting unfettered immigration are also the same ones pushing climate change and Malthusian goals. Yeah, it is very interesting, isn't it? You know, the sort of anti-natalist constituency who are like, yeah, we need to bring all the foreigners in because we haven't got any babies, but also we're having too many babies. There are too many humans around generally. But also, we're not 70 million people yet. Germany's kicking our ass.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Peterson described it as the anti-human sentiment that runs through the environmentalist movement. And it's true, but only when they talk about the West. Anywhere else on Earth?
No. They never specifically name other countries outside of the West, obviously. But
when they do, they always say in China that it's not that they should have less babies, but they are expected to have this. And there's no question that they should continue to grow their population. Whereas any country in the West, they don't have to be a citizen.
No. There's actually a little bit of nuance to this, because they'll say, well, people in foreign countries have a smaller carbon footprint than people in the West, which, I mean, is true.
Yeah, that won't get bigger over time.
Exactly. The carbon footprint of the average Chinese person is obviously going up as their economy improves. But like, they do also think that foreign countries should have their populations removed. And you can find people like Bill Gates and, you know, the sort of international class talking about their concern of population growth in Asia and Africa. So they do.
You never see the active campaigns.
Exactly. You only see the active campaigns against British people, you know, other Western people. Yeah. But anyway, Heathcliff says, why do they think population growth is a good thing? Why does it matter if there are less babies? I thought we were killing the planet or whatever. Exactly. SH Silver says, Tom Howard appears to be pro megacity, bulldoze the countryside and live in the pods, citizen. That's actually his position, stupidly. Edward says, the world's on fire. You shouldn't be having children for the sake of the planet. How could you bring a child to this terrible world? You can't afford it. We're not having enough babies. We need more immigration. The same people say both of these. Yeah. Also, Germany is a far bigger landmass than we are. We do not need to race them for population. Yeah. Kevin says, stop immigration and the companies in need of workers. We're forced to increase wages to get people interested in working. Yeah, and it will also just be a natural consequence of the market, where it'll turn it into a workers' market rather than an employer's market. So the people selling labor will have more leverage over the people buying labor, which would be good for the people selling labor. But of course, who cares about them? Has Tom Harwood been taken over by the invasion of the woke? I thought he used to be more based. When's Tom Harwood have been based?
I don't know what you're living on.
Yeah. No, he's never been based. Not a Swamp German says, the neighborhood where I live in Rotterdam, I'm starting to think you might be a Swamp German, is 70% foreign, of which 50% are non-European foreigners. This place did not feel like home, as I can walk around for hours without hearing the native language. Living here feels like living in the Tower of Babel. That's what it's like in Swindon now. Walking around.
Well, the specific issue we've got that's come in the last year is we have a big old hotel with God knows how many rooms of sea people.
I'm not even bothered about that. You walk through the city.
I have to walk past that every day to go home. So I just...
Yeah, but you walk through the town centre and it's just babbling in like European languages or, you know, Asian languages or African languages. It's like, what are you all doing here? You know, why are you here? I didn't move. You know, I didn't ask for this.
Well, I moved away from Reading to get away from that.
But it turns out that London is forever spreading. So Theodore says, sorry to be a doomer, but I really don't see any hope for reversing this trend of mass immigration. Only the will to sustain or increase it actually exists amongst our political class, and no real will exists among the general population to shift away from that entrenched political class. We're effed. I hate to be a doomer as well, but I don't disagree at all.
Well, you know, they've always said if the material conditions change, you know, if mercenaries aren't getting paid, they'll leave.
Eventually, yeah.
And that is the big drive for
after looting the place.
So, but no, there are ways of changing it. It's just
there's absolutely nothing stopping the government from just saying, right, we're not issuing any more visas for residents. There's nothing stopping.
Well, they'd have to pass another bill because they put the points system in now, but it's not hard.
Yeah, they've got the power to pass another bill.
Yeah.
You say, no, it's not doing it. And then 400,000 a year would leave, and so you would get a reduction in population, but it would be voluntary. Like, you wouldn't have to do anything.
Plus, the house prices would plummet and I'd be able to get home.
Exactly. The house prices would go down and young people would be able to buy homes.
Can we bring house prices, average house price, down to 5 times the salary instead of 10 times?
Yeah, I mean, literally in 1991 or 1992, it was like 4 times. We covered this the other day. It's like 4 times the average income. So yeah, now it's 10 times. Like, this is a direct consequence of mass immigration.
But also the idea, if we went back to 4 times, like, the whole economy would collapse or something.
Yeah, things were fine in the 90s. I was alive.
Okay.
It was
houses
okay.
Will still be worth money.
Yeah. You'll still want to live in one. But anyway, I think we're out of time there. So.
Homes will still be useful in 2050. If we don't have the pods. Anyway, we're out of time. So if you'd like more from us, lowsears.com, of course. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.